Hi, and welcome to the first of hopefully many smart selling podcasts for the education market. I'm Larry Sugarman, and I'm president of Smart Selling, a sales training and consulting firm that is focused on helping professional sales reps who are selling to the education market improve their effectiveness and efficiency. In short, to sell more faster. I've been involved with education sales for over 20 years, and I've been training sales reps full-time since about 1994. And while I don't have all of the answers and I don't have any magic to offer, I do have some ideas that have proven to help sales reps in the past. I'd like you to think about something. I'm sure that many of you have attended sales training workshops. Have you ever noticed how similar they are? It doesn't matter whether it was Mike Bosworth's solution selling or Lloyd Sappington's value selling or Rick Page's The Complex Sale or my smart selling. The underlying content and concepts are pretty much the same. It's just the words and some of the delivery that's different. Now, there's a reason for that. All of the modern sales training programs are based on the same groundbreaking study of the interaction between salespeople and their prospects that was conducted by a group of behavioral psychologists. In this study, for the first time, sales calls were observed by trained, unbiased researchers, and the results of this study shattered the previously held concepts of what made some sales reps consistently more successful than others. And by identifying the actual behaviors that led to more effective sales calls, the foundation was created upon which to develop some truly relevant sales training. Now, I was a sales manager at one of the companies that participated in the studies, and I had the privilege of working with the lead psychologist during the project. Smart Selling, my program, has taken the results from the research and developed a proven process that's been customized for the education marketplace. I'd like to explain a little bit about SMART. SMART is an acronym for the four characteristics of a qualified prospect. The S stands for solution. Now, a solution, in my terms, says that the sales rep has worked with the prospect to the point where the prospect can define in terms of your product's unique capabilities how they will solve their problems. The M in SMART stands for motivation, and this means that the prospect sees enough value in solving their problem to motivate them to change what they're doing now and to find the money to do it. The AR stands for authority over resources, and this quite simply is the person that you're dealing with has the power to spend the money. And lastly, timetable. You have worked with a prospect, and you've together created a mutual timetable of activities that will enable them to determine that you are the best alternative. So this is the way that I look at when I talk about defining a qualified prospect. It's one that has all components of SMART: the solution, motivation, authority over resources, and timetable. Now, about this podcast, I'd like it to be one that's useful to you in a couple of ways. First is hopefully a place to pick up ideas that can help you in the difficult education marketplace. And as a second objective, as a forum to share your ideas and questions. And to this end, I've set up a dedicated phone line for you to call and leave your comments, ideas, and questions, as well as situations you would like to have discussed here on the podcast. The phone number to call is 425-939-0438. Now, I'm going to repeat that so that you'll have a chance to go and grab yourself a pencil, but here's the number again. It's 425 939 0438, and it's available 24/7. Just leave a message and it'll get to me. In addition, I'd like to invite you to join and participate in this brand new Smart Selling online forum, where you can post situations that you'd like to discuss with your peers or offer advice on similar problems that you've solved. To get there, go to www.smartselling.net and click on the forum button and join in. Just register and join the forum. Now, for this first podcast, I thought we could talk about managing risk. But first, what I'd like to do is tell you a little story. It seems that there was this guy, you know, and he was lost in the Mojave Desert, and it was really, really hot out there. I mean, let's say that it was somewhere 120 to 130 degrees, and it is hot, it's dry, and the guy hasn't had any water for a long time, and he's kind of struggling through. He's just looking at mirages. He sees things out there that aren't there, and he's crawling, and he's crawling, and he's just slowly dying of thirst. And he looks out and around the horizon. He sees this shimmering shape out there that he really thinks might be real. So he crawls and he crawls. He takes his last bits of strength and he crawls. And as he gets closer and closer, he realizes that he does see something out there that's real. And he gets closer and closer. And when he finally arrives, what he sees is a little man standing behind a glass case that's full of ties. And as he gets there, he looks at this guy, he raises his head, and he says, "Help me. Help me. Do you have any water? I need some water." And the guy behind the counter says, "You know, I don't have any water, but what you really need is a tie. You know, I have a tie here that would be just perfect for you. Look at this one. It's perfect. It matches your eyes." And the guy says, "Are you crazy? I don't need a tie. I need water. Help me. Help me. Where can I get some water?" And the guy says, "Look, so you don't like that tie, I've got another tie for you. This one is even better than the first one. Take a look at this tie. Look at the craftsmanship of this tie. This is a gorgeous tie." And the guy says, "You're nuts. You're nuts. I'm dying. Get me. I need to get water. Can you please help me get water?" So the guy says, "Well, obviously you're not interested in my ties. But if you head over the next two sand dunes, there's a restaurant over there, and I'm sure that they'll give you a glass of water." I says, "Thank you." And he starts to crawl, and it takes him like 2.5-3 hours to crawl over these two sand dunes. And a little bit later, the guy that's standing behind the glass counter looks off, and he sees this guy crawling back to him. And the guy crawls back, and he says, "So why are you back?" And the guy says, "Your brother told me I can't get into the restaurant without a tie." All right, so it's a cute story, and I really like it. But when I told this story to my friend, and I told him that I was going to use it in this podcast, the first thing he asked me was, "Well, which one's the salesperson?" Now, without giving it much thought, I answered, "Well, the guy with the ties." And he said, "Hmm." At first, I thought that too, but then it hit me that the guy looking for the water could also be the salesperson. You see, both were guilty of committing errors that increased the risk to a successful outcome. The guy looking for the water neglected to ask if there was anything he should be aware of about the restaurant. The fellow with the ties was so interested in selling his product that he failed to help the prospect see how his product would help to solve a significant problem that the prospect had not even yet identified. So let's talk a little bit about this. You know, we're in a high-risk business. We invest a lot of time, energy, and resources with our prospects, and sometimes we end up with nothing to show for it. To effectively deal with risk, we have to start by being honest with ourselves and with each other. See, there's no way that I know of to eliminate risk from sales. But there are ways that we could reduce our risk if only we could identify when we were about to do something that would increase risk and avoid doing it. Now, as a result of my conversations with over 2,000 sales reps, I've come to the conclusion that there are three key reasons why sales don't close when we want them to. The first is that at the end of the sales cycle, the prospect no longer sees your product as being the best solution to their problems. Somewhere along the way, the vision that you and the prospect had created in your product's image got broken. Some of the words we hear in this situation are, we're just not ready for this, or we can get the same thing from someone else for less, or it's just too difficult. The second reason that sales don't close on time is that the prospect doesn't see enough value to motivate them to change what they're doing now to solve the problem. Phrases that we hear in this situation are things like, we don't have it in the budget, or it's too expensive. The third reason that reps identified is that they have given their proposal to someone who does not have the power or the authority over the resources to make the decision. In this case, we hear, this looks really good. I'm going to take it to my boss for approval. For the remainder of this podcast, I'm going to focus on the first cause of risk, the broken solution. In subsequent sessions, we'll discuss motivation and authority over resources. Let's think back on that Thai story. Have you ever offered a solution to someone without first helping them identify the problem? There are a couple of things I'd like to discuss with you as we begin creating an unbreakable solution. The first is focus, and the second is attitude. Now, I know that you've heard the mantra that this is a relationship business, but what does that mean? What's the basis of this relationship? Many sales reps seem to define the relationship around golfing, dining, or entertaining their prospects, and while this might be fun in some ways, I don't think that they define a relationship that develops the kind of trust that's needed for a significant investment in hardware or software or services. Good relationships are mutual. If you think you have a great relationship with your prospect, ask yourself one question. Who pays for the golf, the dinner, or the entertainment? Chances are, it's always you. The best business relationships are based on trust. The fact is, we trust people who take the time to try to understand our problems and who try to see the world from our perspective. It's time to check your focus. When you meet with your prospect, are you more interested in explaining your product or in gaining an in-depth understanding of the things that are keeping your prospect awake at night? The more time you spend trying to understand their problems and the things that are causing them to be unresolved, the stronger the relationship will become. But your interest must be genuine. It can't be just a setup for you to launch into a pitch. Your focus is on them. Remember, they didn't wake up this morning thinking, "Oh boy, I get to meet with a sales rep today." At the beginning of the sales cycle, they are not interested in you or your product. They are interested in their problems. So here are a couple of tips to help you keep your focus. One, do your research before the call. What's going on in the district? What subjects were key at the last board meeting? Two, ask the prospect what the main challenges are in the district. Like, if you could fix one thing, what would it be? Three, listen to what they say and don't try to figure out what product you're going to pitch or how you're going to solve the problem. Just listen carefully. Ask for clarification of things you don't understand. There's nothing wrong with that. Ask them why they're having problems solving it. In other words, what are the contributory causes of the larger problem? Again, listen. Keep focused. If you have some ideas about some things that might also be contributing factors, offer them as ideas, the same way a consultant, doctor, or counselor would. When you have exhausted the causes, summarize what you heard. I know you've heard this before, and you think you do it, but you don't do it, do you? At this point, the relationship is beginning to form. The next thing you do will determine whether you will gain the prospect's trust or lose it altogether? Ask this question to hit a home run. Tell me, what do you think you would need to solve these problems? This is where sales reps get nervous. We are so afraid they will say something that will throw us off, but in reality, there are only three answers that you'll hear. The first is, I don't know, I thought that's why you were here. This is really just an invitation to share information, so be careful. Be humble. Don't jump into a pitch. Say something like, I don't know all the answers either, but I'd like to share some ideas that might help. Then talk about capabilities that you have in your product that address the things you've been discussing. It's not necessary to talk about the product or company names like, we at XYZ have. They know where you're from, and they don't care about your product names. The second type of response is what I call a considered response, usually starting out with, we've tried, or we currently are implementing. Use this opportunity to question into what they like and don't like, and what worked and what didn't work, and why, from their perspective. The conversation will lead to opportunities to contrast your capabilities. The third type of answer you'll hear is what I like to call the verbal RFP, or request for proposal. It's a detailed description of specific capabilities. In other words, it's somebody else's product. In this case, you have to handle it like you would any RFP. Determine whether it's worth your time to get involved, and if it is, ask them to explain how they see using some of the proprietary features you've discovered to solve the problems you've discussed. Then, try to change the vision to one that now uses your capabilities. We'll discuss more on RFPs in another podcast. So, to summarize the subject of focus, keep your focus on the prospect and their problems. This will ensure that you build a relationship built on trust and that you will be able to construct a solution that the prospect understands. When the prospect can describe in terms of your product's unique capabilities how they will solve a significant problem, you have an unbreakable solution. Let's take a little break here and look at the second area right afterwards, attitude. Hi, let's continue. You know, I have to tell you, one of the things that really gets me upset is when a salesperson forgets who they are. Now, that's just not their name, I mean, but when I ask my classes to shout out the first word that pops into their minds when I say the word salesman, I hear words like used car, shifty, greedy, liar. I seldom, if ever, hear any positive words like consultant, professional, or problem solver. Yet, they are all salespeople. And if that's what they carry around in their heads, you know what our prospects think of us. Also, I hear sales reps on calls saying things like, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to talk to me. In other words, thanks for doing me the favor of spending time with me. Why does this upset me so much? Well, it has to do with my heartfelt belief that, as a professional salesperson, I'm of significant value to my prospects. Successful sales reps are leaders, not followers. In fact, smart selling was taught to all of the administrators at Lake Washington School District, which is a 25,000-student school district in the state of Washington. It was taught to them to help them improve their community relationships. And we didn't teach it as smart selling. We called it artful leadership. Yet, we didn't change anything except the words relating specifically to the word sales. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. There is a significant difference between confidence and arrogance. Your prospect is the one who has the problems. You represent a solution. Without your help, they could very well continue with the problem unabated. So, who's doing whom a favor here? Think about opening your sales call with something more positive, like instead of opening it with, "Thank you for taking the time to see little insignificant me," try saying something like, "I'm really glad we have this opportunity to chat about some of the challenges you're facing. It's my sincere hope that we can work together to find some solutions to them. Let's start by identifying the three things that are most critical to you at this time." By establishing yourself as a peer and a professional, you'll find that the relationship with your prospect will grow based on mutual respect. Arrogance comes when you begin telling somebody what their problems are and what they need to do to solve them. Confidence is when you take the time to explore the prospect's view of the world and help them reach the conclusion that you are someone who can be trusted to help them address their challenges. I really hope that you've enjoyed this first podcast, and I'd appreciate it if you could take the time to give me a call or drop me a quick email or put a note on the forum to let me know what you think and how I might be able to improve it to make it more valuable for you. The phone number again is 425-939-0438. My email is larry@smartselling.net. And again, to get to the forum, go to www.smartselling.net and click on the forum button. So until next time, good selling, and let's stay smart out there.